Let's just pause for a moment and take a break to remember what all began with a 2011 tweet to then-Detroit Mayor Dave Bing. It asked, shouldn't the city have a statue of one of its great heroes? Someone who represents the strength and fortitude and resilience of Detroit? Someone like RoboCop.
Drop the gun. You are under arrest. Thank you for your cooperation. Good night.
What seemed like a quick joke about the 1987 cult movie favorite soon evolved online into a real-world undertaking, with Detroiters Jerry Paffendorf and Brandon Wally taking up the mantle. Money flowed in from the internet, and a decade later, the statue of RoboCop is complete. But there is no home yet for its final destination. Detroit journalist Michael Jackman wrote a piece this week on the RoboCop statue saga for the Metro Times. Michael, welcome to Stateside.
Good to be here.
So, this project kicked off with an extremely well-publicized and successful Kickstarter campaign. Did you have any idea back in 2011 that this would consume so much heat and light and time and energy?
Well, at first it seemed... It gave people something to get excited about, but also in my group of people, I think a lot of people scorned the idea, you know, especially given that a city on the verge of bankruptcy with so many financial problems, that someone would suggest this irreverent pop culture art project, and all of a sudden people couldn't seem to donate money fast enough. It seemed to offer a strange commentary on our times.
Yeah. I feel like this was one of the earliest instances that I can remember of something being funny on Twitter and then actually taking shape as a real thing. Do you remember the point at which you realized that this might actually happen?
I do. In fact, I knew Jerry Paffendorf at the time, and I couldn't help teasing him that here we are in this really dire situation in Detroit, and yet the thing that all these people decide to put their money and their funds toward is something that, you know, appears to thumb its nose at the reality as opposed to trying to change it. And I think that they've always been receptive to those criticisms that, yeah, there are probably bigger things to tackle. But it's important to remember that Jerry and Brandon, when they ran Imagination Station, where this all came out of, that was their whole thing, to fund and create Detroit-centered art projects. And they had already done a few of them, including that neon work of art on the Roosevelt Hotel near the train station, and Monumental Kitty, a brick artwork by Jerome Ferretti, near the old Tiger Stadium site. So this was something that they were already doing at the time. And they thought, boy, look at all this enthusiasm. Maybe we can piggyback on this and take our project to the next level.
So there was the will to get this done. There was some money. There was some expertise in play. Why did it take so long?
Well, you know, you hate to say that anything is cursed, but given the amount of obstacles that have cropped up to bar their way forward, you start to wonder about it. Because, first of all, the RoboCop statue, it might appear like it's a snap to make a statue, but this is intellectual property. It's owned by a film studio, fabricators. They have the copyright to it. So they had to negotiate Fred Barton Productions to give them a scale model of RoboCop that was approved by MGM. And that took some time. And then by the time this foam object came to their studio, it had to be turned into molds. And they also had to buy something to melt the bronze so that the work could be done in Detroit. They had selected Giorgio Gicas, who's probably the most respected metalsmith in Detroit, to make the statue. And just when the forms were getting ready, he was stricken with stage 4 colon cancer. He was in bed for 2 years.
You know, Giorgio is such an interesting guy. Can you tell us a little more about him?
Sure. He is an interesting fellow. He came here from Greece when he was probably about, I want to say, 20. And he was working on restoring a statue or a fountain or something in Cincinnati, Ohio. But he didn't have his necessary papers, so immigration snared him, or as he put it, rescued him. So then he was given a choice of jail time or going into the U.S. Army, and he took the latter. And he was lucky enough to serve stateside at the end of the Vietnam War. So he stayed in his adopted country. He got a job doing patinas at the well-respected Roman Bronze Works in New York. And by the time he made his way to Detroit, he became probably pretty quickly the only metalsmith doing museum-quality conservation work in the area. So, you know, he was sort of right at the top of his game when they came to him with this offer to follow through and make this statue.
Metalsmithing of this kind is pretty involved. Anybody who's ever seen a video of how it's done. But it's not like Giorgio is the only person in the U.S. doing it. I mean, it would have been possible to get the statue done outside the state much faster. Why did Brandon and Jerry decide they didn't want to go that way?
Well, again, this is their mandate. As Imagination Station, they wanted to fund Detroit artists doing work in Detroit for a Detroit audience. So this was important enough to them that they had to select someone who actually, for instance, Giorgio's, his shop is in Detroit. It's on Mount Elliott. He's been here for years and years and years. And, you know, you could have gone out of state and found someone who would do the job, or they could have turned their back on Giorgio when he was down on his luck, but they chose not to. I think it speaks well for them.
It's very Detroit.
Indeed.
The question is now where to put this thing. Can you run us through some of the sites that have been discussed?
Yeah. In the beginning, of course, when everyone thought it would be done in short order, they had proposed putting it up in front of Michigan Central Station, which was at that time vacant, had a lot of broken windows. You could see right through the thing as you drove by it. Well, now that's a showy renovation project backed by Ford Motor Company. Then they had thought about putting it, I think, on Belle Isle or in Tech Town. And now Tech Town, of course, in the last 10 years has filled up with a whole bunch of nonprofits, hardly has a vacancy for a nonprofit, let alone a statue. So they had then made a deal with the Michigan Science Center to locate it there. Unfortunately, with coronavirus, the museum has its hands full just trying to stay open. So there's been this cascading list of locations, sites for this statue, and one by one, they've kind of fallen through. It's now going to be put into storage until it can find a suitable location.
If all obstacles could be sort of magically leaped over, where would you like to see this statue end up?
Well, you know, it's a strange thing. 10 years go by, and in Detroit, that's just an eon. The context has shifted so much that it's hard to imagine where this kind of statue would be in a position to make its satirical point, because the RoboCop film, while a rollicking adventure, is a satire about corporate rule, privatization, sort of an attack on the public sector. These are all themes in Verhoeven's movie. And, you know, it's kind of funny how satire has to be quick on its feet or it loses the race to reality. Where in Detroit can you put this statue now?
Seriously.
Maybe there's a magnet high school or some kind of scrappy enterprise that will help the statue make its point.
As a practical matter, where do you think it's going to end up?
Well, I, you know, my crystal ball is in the shop, but it's going to mark a place in Detroit's history. That place may already be receding into the past. So someplace that's a little bit scrappy, a little bit careworn, but needs a guardian, a protector. I think that that's where it ought to end up.
You know, some people speculated when this first came up, and you talked about this, Detroit's dealing with a bankruptcy. Is this really where we want to put time and energy and money, small though it was in the context of everything that was going on? You mentioned that Brandon and Jerry were super talkative about that. You know, they were ready to address those concerns. In hindsight, once the statue finds a home, do you think it's going to be embraced?
Well, It's a really clever work of art. They've done everything they can to make the statue appear friendly and not stern. It has an open posture. Its arms are extended. The Auto 9 sidearm is nowhere to be seen. One of the hands is low enough so that a little person could pose for a photograph with the work of art. You know, those kind of things, once you look at it, you realize, boy, you know, this really is a charming piece that the citizens are going to wind up with. On the other hand, the resonance of the piece couldn't have been more fraught with peril when you think about the fact that last year, police and statuary were two of the hot button issues of the whole year. So it does have some problems fitting in, but I have a feeling that those who come to see it and, you know, give it the benefit of the doubt will realize it is a nice statue and it is something that is an asset for the city.
Do you remember the last time you watched the movie?
Probably 2 years ago.
Yeah.
But I've probably seen it more than a dozen times.
How do you think it holds up?
As a person who grew up in the 1980s, I understand right where this movie is aimed. It's aimed at Reagan-era America, Wall Street, sort of the technocratic fixes that were proposed for everything back then. As for how younger viewers might see it, I'm not sure, but I do hope that they understand this is a work of satire.
It just blows my mind how many Detroiters there are right now who were not even born when this film came out.
I think the average age of the American is, what, 38 is like the median age right now?
Oh, man. I just hope it all makes sense to people who see this someday and like are downloading it direct to their phone or something.
You know, it was intended as a quirky, one-off, kind of a fun thing. And I don't think a whole lot of thought was put into it. But as it has turned into this 10-year odyssey, and so much has been put into this, it starts to resonate a little bit differently. And I think that that is a problem for appreciating it, but it's something that I hope a lot of people are able to somehow get over. And well, I don't know if that's really fair to say get over it, but it's a work of art and it is open to many interpretations. Some people will see the worst in it and some people will see it more closely to its intention. I hope.
Freelance journalist Michael Jackman coming to us from his home in Detroit. Michael, thank you.
Thank you very much.